The Administrative Conference of the United States is back. If you haven't heard about them, it's because they've been on hiatus for about 14 years. But with new funding, ACUS is back in business and holding hearings. Joining us now is Paul Verkeil, the chairman of ACUS. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
First of all, let's start with the 30,000-foot view of what ACUS is and what it's all about.
Okay, well, the President, President Obama, when he revived us by appointing the council last August, said we are a public-private partnership designed to make government work better, which is a pretty good way to put it. We are an independent agency in the executive branch, and our job is to look at the way government operates, its processes and procedures, and make them more efficient, make them more fair, and save money in the process if we can.
And so when you came back into business, what models did you have for starting up something that had been dormant for so long?
So that's right. You know, I had to think those in those terms. And by the way, coming back to business is a little bit like, as I had said to the Congress, it's like Rip Van Winkle waking up, you know, after 15 years. We went to sleep in 95. We woke back up now in 2010.
And they changed the draperies in the meantime.
You remember what happened to Rip? I mean, he thought he was, and it was his Washington Irving in the Catskills, you know. And by the way, Rip was asleep for 20 years, which I think is a really great definition of napping on the job. You just talked about that with the FAA, but 20 years. So we were out for 14 years. And one of the things you notice is that the technology has changed, activities in particular. But not such thing as email when we went out, and now we're back and we're in the middle of social media, and we have wonderful opportunities to explain with you how we stream our public meetings and we keep ourselves interactive and available to the public.
So give us some examples of what you're launching on first, now that you've established, you've got the offices and the members. What issues are you dealing with?
So one of the things we do is we try and take an unbiased look at government problems. We're nonpartisan. We have on our membership, we have both parties represented. We are supported strongly by Republicans in Congress as well as Democrats. So we look for what we think are the neutral propositions that can make government work better. For example, we are working very hard on rulemaking, electronic rulemaking, making sure access to rulemaking is available for the public generally. That's one big initiative. We're also looking at ways to decide better how government should operate. For example, video hearings as an alternative to face-to-face hearings in a lot of administrative proceedings can be both fair and can save a lot of money. And so in Social Security and immigration and Veterans Administration kinds of hearings, we're looking at that alternative.
We're talking with Paul Verkeil, the Administrative Conference of the United States Chairman of ACUS, and we're getting an update on what ACUS is and where you're going to go from here. You had mentioned sort of the Rip Van Winkle issue where you wake up after, in your case, 14 years and you're back to business. Do you find that it's going to be a little bit easier now because of the technological changes that you referred to, or does that add some challenges that perhaps you had not anticipated?
Well, you know, it's a little of both, actually, Amy. I think the technology is, of course, a tremendous asset, not only for us, we're just a small agency, but for government generally. On the other hand, it's such a complication because there's an enormous transition, there's an enormous educational requirement, and we have to get up to speed technologically in government, and we're not always in that condition. We don't have the resources that we need. So it's a little bit of both. But I think in balance, obviously, technology, and I think this is a theme of the president, is that transparency, openness, collaboration, a lot of things are possible because of technology.
And I'm wondering about the membership. Tell us, you said it's a public-private partnership. Tell us about the makeup of the membership of the ACUS.
Right. Well, there are 101. I'm the one. I'm confirmed by the Senate and appointed by the President. And there are 10 members of the Council, 5 of whom are government officials and 5 of whom are public citizens and politically balanced, as I said, in their appointment. And then there are 90 members 50 are senior government officials and 40 are public members who are lawyers or academics or other interested people in management and with a variety of skills. And by the way, in our public members, we've got former government officials from administrations going back to President Carter forward.
And how often do you meet? And, I mean, do all 101 come to all the meetings?
No, that wouldn't work. So we have committees that do most of our work, meet during the course of the year, and then we have two plenary sessions, one in June and one in December. We had our first one this past December, and we voted on our first recommendations. We usually have three or four recommendations each time, directing agencies, or rather, I should say, not directing, but asking agencies to do the right thing in various areas. We don't have what's called enforcement power, but we have the power of persuasion and the power of good ideas.
Do you still have that cachet, that power, even though after 14 years you're coming back to life, as it were? What is your relationship like with those agencies?
Sure. No, I mean, that's a really good question. You know, do they remember us? And it's amazing. Government officials who've been around over that time remember us very well. We were started by President Kennedy by executive order, actually, when I first became involved with the agency. I was still a student in college at that point. But now we are actually very much active. And the people in government know us, and they come up to us frequently and connect us. And so we've been welcomed back, I have to say. It's a very gratifying feeling to see not only on the Hill, but also in government agencies, how much they're happy to see us back and sort of being an honest broker in the policy world these days.
I think one of your earliest recommendations was a set of new contractor ethics rules to be baked into the Federal Acquisition Regulation. And so you give that recommendation to whom, and how do you see it through as whoever you give it to implements it?
Yes. Well, thank you, Tom. That's a very important issue, and I'm sure for your listeners. There is this disparity between ethics requirements for government officials and for contractors, many of whom are doing the same jobs as government officials. And so we've looked at that and tried to come up with a way to bridge the gap better. We don't want to overdo the requirement of process. On the other hand, if there are issues of conflicts of interest, we want to make sure, and use of confidential information, we want to make sure that the government official or the contractor is equally bound. So that's what we've done. Now, how do we get it there, and who do we direct it to? In this case, we've chosen to direct it to the FAR Council, Federal Acquisition Regulatory Council, which has the power to change these rules. Many of them involve government defense contracting, but not all by any means. And so the FAR Council will implement the rules that we've suggested, which is our hope.
And I'm getting the sense from your tone of voice that you really like this job.
No, I don't know. I mean, it's perfect for me. I have to say, you know, I've been involved as an attorney and a lawyer and an academic most of my career, and I do teach in the area of administrative law. I've run a university. I was president of William & Mary. And so I've known this place. In fact, my first working assignment for it when I was a young academic was when Justice Scalia had my job. One of the nice things is there's continuity for me as well. I'm really still part of it, and I remember a lot of things that have gone on, and so I'm really able to participate and actually provide some of the history and pick it up and move it forward.
And as we move forward with what it is ACUS is going to be doing, what do you see coming down the pike? What are some of the big decisions or the big issues that you're going to be taking up over the next year or so?
Well, I think there are two ways we are looking at it. One is some of the things that don't strike you as vital and smaller but very important. I mean, looking at statutes that are really sort of those you in government know about, the Freedom of Information Act, the Federal Advisory Committee Act, the Paperwork Reduction Act, how we can make those statutes passed before the era of the Internet, make them more susceptible to modern technology and make them easier. That's one whole range of ideas. You know, looking at statutes, how do you make them work better? The other larger question is how, talking a little bit about organization of government, you know, these new, the Dodd-Frank bill, the Affordable Care Act, these are dramatic legislative enactments with all kinds of regulatory powers in them. And we're thinking quite a bit about how to make the organization of government, the management of government work better in light of these. So we're looking very closely at those statutes and how they're being implemented.
Paul Verkeil is chairman of the American Conference of the United States. Back after 14 years, we thank you very much for that update and wish you luck in getting this whole thing up and running.
Well, thanks for having an interest in our work. We appreciate it.